This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's access media station, Plains FM, and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Terra Nova Earth Talks. We speak with cutting-edge experts and wise elders from across the globe on the issues and action our Earth is calling for. Brought to you by the Terra Nova Foundation, driving environmental change through human connection and collective action.
Welcome back to Terra Nova Earth Talks for what is perhaps one of the most contentious topics in Earth conversations, counting carbon. 20 years ago, it was unusual to hear anyone talking about counting carbon. It was a major issue in the global scientist events I attended and in large business exec rooms, but it certainly wasn't talked about down at the pub or across the dinner table. Now it's a different story. Carbon is in the news daily. It is the topic of most business exec rooms and is a common topic in classrooms and our homes. But have we got distracted by all of this carbon talk? Are we focusing on the numbers at the detriment of the bigger issue? If we reduce carbon, do we solve the majority of problems for this planet? Are we simply tackling the thing we can do easily and avoiding the actions that really impact on our daily lives? Are we self-greenwashing out of convenience? Typical areas for reducing carbon include energy use, car use, flying and food, particularly meat consumption. Why is that? I get asked regularly, what is the point of me reducing my carbon footprint, the amount I consume, if big business, the biggest consumers, are not doing anything? So many questions. Well, today we are lucky because we have the wonderful Josh Dry from Kogo with us. Kogo is the leader in carbon counting as a means to shift our behaviour, winning awards across the globe for its carbon tools over the last 14 years. With charitable beginnings, it is now the go-to for banks in multiple countries worldwide. Josh, it's great to have you in the studio today. Welcome.
Kia ora, Rose. Lovely to be here. Thanks for having me.
So, let's get straight in. Carbon talk. One of the things I want to tackle first, though, is the Kogo journey.
Sure.
Because it is an interesting journey. There's lots of new companies around, like in the first, especially in the last sort of 5 years, there's all these different carbon tools and carbon organizations that have come into play. But Kogo is around a lot longer than that.
That's right.
Can you give us a bit of a flavor of the Kogo journey to date?
Sure thing. So you mentioned 14 years, yes, 14 years ago as a charity, Conscious Consumers was born. So Ben Gleisner, who's still our CEO, one of the founders, started with the vision to empower individuals to understand the impact their spending was having on the things that they cared about. Mm-hmm. So this was a way of unearthing very transparently what businesses were doing, and allowing individuals that had the same values as those organisations to shift their spend to those organisations. And through the advance of technology, you know, we had one of the first apps in Aotearoa, and it's been a journey. And through open banking in the UK and all these exciting trends, carbon accounting, as you mentioned, we've, like any classic tech startup, have pivoted a few times. And in the last sort of 4 years, yes, we've been working with banks around the world, enriching their customer transaction data, either consumers or small business, enriching it with carbon data and allowing them to see the impact that their spending is having in a carbon sense. And yes, now around the world, working with 20 banks globally.
From banks, right? They're not small.
NatWest Group were the first to integrate a carbon tracker into their core banking experience. They did that with us. So we've been working with them for a number of years now. We've got over 750,000 individuals in that one app measuring their carbon and engaging monthly with that tool.
Yeah, wow. And this, so, yes, so 14 years is a long time when it comes to tech, especially the last sort of 10 years. Lots changed. Apps were kind of still novel 14 years ago, right?
Yeah.
So you've pivoted a few times. What have been the main changes in terms of the pivot? Has it been just purely as a result of advancing technology, or is it also that you've learned about how behaviour shift could happen in that time?
Yeah, changing behaviour has always been the focus, reducing impact. Mm-hmm. And to get our solutions at scale, we've need to fish where the fish are. So we've gone from direct-to-consumer apps, which are, you know, download a single app, grow those numbers, market that, get businesses into that tool, a lot of work, and we were slowly rising those numbers. When we integrate into a core banking experience, again, I'll refer to NatWest, one of the large banks in the United Kingdom, they've got 8 million consumers using that tool. And so if you're directly integrating with them, the impact opportunity is significant.
Mm.
So I suppose that's been a core reason for working with the banks.
Mm.
There's been a lot of shifts in our product, and yes, we build for that end user. We need to change their behaviour. It's a lot of behavioural science, which we may discuss a lot in this podcast. So we employ a lot of behavioural science, but it also needs to make commercial sense for the banks.
Yeah.
Numerous conversations with banks all over the world. They understand it. They know it's a good thing to do. It needs to make commercial sense, or it needs to be driven by regulation.
Yeah.
And so we've sort of shifted with bringing in more commercial opportunities for the banks.
Yeah.
Our viewpoint is if it's encouraging decarbonisation in a commercial sense, that's fine. And then aligning to regulation, which is a very fast-moving piece.
Yeah.
TCFD and Aotearoa ISSB reporting, very fast-evolving space right now. And aligning to regulation, because that's the must-have. That takes it out of a nice-to-do conversation.
It's a much easier... argument. You have to do it. We'll make it that easy for you, as
Correct.
Opposed to some sort of altruistic plea. Please save the earth. You've got the amazing capacity to do it. Doesn't always win over the bottom line, right?
That's right. Unfortunately,
sadly.
That's true. So
and the progress regulation across the world actually has been significant over the last 20 years. So it's great to see. But I want to move to carbon itself, right? So I've been pretty skeptical about measuring carbon for some time. And in fact, COCOA was supported by Seed the Change, He Kākano Hapai, which I'm a trustee of as well, right in the early days. And I was like, is this the right tool? But I do appreciate that a tool can be very effective if it does do the combo of shifting the behaviour. Can you share with us some of the thinking that yourself has had and COCOA in terms of connecting the carbon count with the behavioural change? Like, how does that work?
Sure.
Or is it just kind of like you just say it out loud and and hopefully that will happen?
If only that it was that easy. Look, the first step is measurement. You know, you've heard the old adage, what gets measured gets managed, and that's the first step here. It's a necessary first step. Our approach is enriching transactional data, automating that, making it simple, easy, putting it into people's pockets. Everyone has a banking app, or a small business owner uses their accounting feed. So that's the first step, and there is that wow moment, there is that oh moment when they look at their carbon footprint for the first time. It would be a very small percentage of Kiwis that have seen their personal carbon footprint or their households or their business.
Yeah.
So there's that very first scary sometimes step to take to see your problem areas, to see the hot spots, to see your high emission activities, as you mentioned, some of the big four earlier, which we'll get to later.
And that's just from the purchasing, right?
That's right.
It's not even the whole thing. It's just your purchasing consumption.
That's right. Every A spend-based carbon footprint does cover a significant amount of an individual's or a household's carbon footprint. You know, there's a lot of things that we spend. Energy, you mentioned, transport, travel, and then there's the food and the consumerism, all the things that we need. So it does cover a significant amount of an individual's footprint. There's some other things which we may cover later in regards to investments and in your job and other things that are periphery that you can actually help reduce emissions that are not associated to spend. But it's that first step, and then what we do is we really focus on reduction. You know, we could talk another podcast about offsetting and certification and the good and the bad and the do's and the don'ts in those fields. For us, it's about empowering individuals, small businesses to take climate action. And that starts with here's your number, here's your carbon footprint, and here's some areas, here's some...
Your carbon can be less.
That's right. And here's some things that you can do. And it's about using that behavioral science. And again, some examples, you know, nudge theory is a big part of what we do. We call it ethical nudge. We have a framework for nudging. And that's simply notifications, timely pop-ups that can encourage you to take things in a different direction. Positive reinforcement. We talk about benchmarking. You know, keeping up with the Johnsons or the Joneses and trying to shift and be better, you know, equivalencies. So understanding carbon, you know, mentioned here's a number. What does a ton of carbon mean? What is it? What is it equivalent to?
So give us some insight. What does it mean? Because we talk carbon like, everybody knows about this. But what is it?
So we like to use equivalencies to help people understand what a single purchase would be. So $100 spent on groceries, what does that look like? Is that 50 kgs or 150 kgs or 1,000? And what does that actually equate to? So we use equivalencies to help individuals understand that. So we look at simple things as phone charges, very, very small, up to Ks driven in a car, and then sometimes flights to Sydney and back, for example, sort of allows you to sort of start comprehending that. And this is, you know, a very big part of the behaviour change we're trying to encourage is through increasing carbon literacy. You know, we've done a lot of research and read a lot of research that a more carbon literate individual is more likely to engage in climate action.
Yeah,
so
right.
It does start with awareness and then education.
Yeah.
And education's power, as they say. So the more you know, the more likely you are to engage in climate action. And that's a big part of our approach is automating that information, showing the number, then showing the field that is most relevant to them as a small business. And it could be transport. And then you look at that and then you're encouraged to reduce. And you're then connected to, hopefully, funding from a bank and some solutions. And that's the next step.
That's where the magic begins.
That's right.
I think the thing is you can't, once you know, you can't not know, right? So you can kind of walk along, you know, with your blinkers on and going, I think my carbon footprint's probably all right. I don't do too bad. I'm just little old me, you know. But when you see it in front of you, it's like,
that's right.
Whoa, okay.
It starts the journey. and a lot of people are on different, you know, stages of their journey. Mm. We talk about a spectrum of green, you know, how dark green are you? there's some dark green people who would be doing a lot of good things. And maybe they just look at the last little thing that they can do to tweak. Maybe they're living off grid, vegan, you know, electric car or biking and don't fly, you know, don't buy that, you know, many clothes, you know, repair, buy secondhand, doing all these nice things. Maybe they're just starting their journey and they want to be guided. So it's also about meeting people where they are on that journey. And same as business, it's exactly the same. Big business, small business, they're all on their journeys. And we just want to support people with credible information, bypass all the misleading, greenwash, misinformation and credibly show a really fast, easy footprint and then guide them on the journey, whatever they would like to do next.
With some good, solid science sitting underneath it, so it's not like Josh says.
That's right, that's right. So we need to be that credible arm, credible voice for the banks as well. So, you know, we do a lot of the, you know, the FAQs and the support and how did you measure this? And so we need to be extremely credible and obviously working with a number of banking institutions around the world, we are doing that. Yeah. And so we just need to obviously ensure that, yes, the data we work with, all the people we work with, how we talk about it is extremely credible, for sure.
Yeah, no, that's very cool. So So I want to move now to bigger picture, because carbon does get carbon offsetting. I just say carbon because there's, you know, lots of words used after and before, but it's talked about a lot. You know, like it's fun for me in a way because it's like 20 years ago, if I talked about this stuff, people just were bored, right? They're just like, yeah, whatever, you know, not my bag. But now it's everywhere and it's in the news all the time. And there is some confusion often. So I love the simplicity almost of the tool that Kogo has. But one of the things that I struggle to get my head around is the amount of carbon noise in terms of the bigger picture goals, right? So what are your thoughts on the placement of carbon in that bigger picture? Can it be better placed?
There's a lot of conversation. Again, we don't want to timestamp things, but we've got the New Zealand elections on right now, and there was a climate debate just earlier, and a lot of it was focused on ETFs and offsetting, and, you know, I think we're having the wrong conversation. It needs to be focused on reduction. Again, we are not going to offset our way out of this crisis. We're not going to certify our way out of this crisis.
Yeah.
Kogo focuses on supporting households and small businesses to reduce their emissions. That is what's so crucial for us. I think the big picture that carbon accounting fits into is that we need trillions of dollars for the global economy to decarbonize, and we need to do that at scale and very fast. Mm. And that includes supporting households and small businesses all over the world to decarbonize.
Yeah.
And I think that's the part that a carbon accounting plays for a household or for a small business is, again, here's your number.
Yeah.
Here's some things you can do.
Yeah.
Here are some finance that can assist you to do those things.
Yeah, right.
And it's sort of that simple. And we're trying to get those solutions at scale and streamline the finance that is available. Mm. Banks are coming up with astronomical numbers to give to these households and to these small businesses. So we just need to make that connection.
Yeah.
Do it in a, again, credible, fast, automated, easy way that can be accessible to all.
Yeah. And I guess from what I'm hearing from what you're saying is that it's almost like you're doing a translation of the number to meaningful reduction behavior. So people often tend to stay with the number, right? Oh, it's this number or that number or whatever. But that the number can only go so far. At some point, we just have to translate that into how we're living fundamentally. Because how we're living, especially in this country, and actually when I was looking at all the countries in the world that you're working in, the big high-consuming countries, we're not talking... There are some countries around the world that are not even on the overshoot clock. Yep. So we've mentioned this in another podcast about the overshoot day, which is a good indicator of how many resources your country's using. Overshoot.aday.org is where you can find your country's day. And some countries aren't even on that clock because their consumption's so low. But the likes of Aotearoa New Zealand, we're at April 19. So that translates to effectively we're using 3.5 to 4, that's probably an underestimate, Earths a year in our consumption. So we are not, we are big consumers, and so is the UK. You're in the UK too. So these are areas of the world that are very high consuming. And so it's really important that we don't look at the numbers in terms of, oh, we're not a big enough place, or what am I going to do as an individual? Because actually we're equivalent to many other people in another country because of our high consumption rates.
That's right. I mean, a lot of reports put consumption and call it hyper-consumerism down to being a big part of this.
Yeah.
So it is majority Western world. It is countries, as you mentioned, New Zealand, Australia, you know, UK. We're trying to go into the US right now, which is going to have its, you know, its own issues and problems. So we need to encourage those high spenders, those that are spending a lot. We don't need to go into a lot of the very smaller countries that have low emissions, that aren't, you know, have very low footprints. And it's the same with individuals. Some people, you know, you find those people, again, very dark green, who are off-grid, maybe they have one bank account and it doesn't get used that frequent. They're not the sort of people that we need to empower with these tools. We need to get them at mass scale and mass, you know, majority of people need these tools. And again, we see they want these tools as well. They want to be encouraged. And for small business, I think, you know, we saw a solution, golf. There was, again, the ability to run a manual survey and enter, you know, a lot of data or answer some questions. And there's obviously, you know, a lot of bias involved in that. How much do you use your car? How much do you spend in the supermarket? You're never going to get these numbers right. The other opportunity for a small business is to pay one of the certifiers a significant amount of money and take a lot of time. And right now, there's the cost of living crisis. We've just come through a pandemic. Small business owners are generally time and resource poor, regardless, even before these multiple crises landing on top of them. So it needs to be automated. It needs to be fast. It needs to be easy. And transaction based is what we believe is the way that we can show those that are spending a lot how they can spend better and shift to reduce those emissions.
So let's just talk small, medium business, because they make up the majority of businesses across the world. And there's a lot that can be done in this area, right? If a small, medium business is looking at this, what's some of the first considerations that they need to look at? Because I can see for a lot of businesses, they might be thinking, we're just surviving right now. The last thing we need is to be doing something extra. So what in your experience has been the first sort of like, how do we get our head around this? Do we need to do it or can we leave it till later?
Sure. I think the first thing is that we see that small business owners, they do want to see this. They do want to have the ability to understand the impact that they're having and how great it is and what they can do to lessen their impact on people and planet. We see that there's a significant commercial opportunity, you know, a competitive advantage for doing these things and taking your stakeholders, your customers on the journey with you. We see, again, consumers, same on the other side of the coin, consumers want to spend with better business as well. So we think that there is something to be said about that social sharing, that proof point that you are doing what you can.
Right.
Again, it's about being transparent. This is where we are at on our journey. These are the things we are doing and want to be doing. No one's perfect. No one's going to get that perfect number.
Don't overclaim. Is that what I'm hearing?
Don't overclaim, of course. Don't overclaim. So we're trying to do this and empower these small business owners to have access to these tools for free. To do it very quick and easy, you know, form in an onboarding process, go through this, show them their number, and then again, recommend some things that they can do. And there's a range of different, we call them climate actions, that they can take in regards to the type of business they are. Some are micro actions or tasks, some are larger, moving fleet to electric, you know, that's going to take a while. It's the same as individual, you know, you talked about meat and changing your diet, going vegan, it is quite a big task for a lot of people. But let's break that down. Let's start with meat-free Mondays. You know, let's start with socializing the conversation at the dinner table and you know, shifting one meat meal to a veggie meal, or, you know, changing the milk that you're using at home.
And in the staff room. So I often recommend that an office gets a local veggie and fruit box delivered to the workplace, so that people aren't, like, you know, always buying stuff out of packets that's come from the other side of the world, and just make it available. And, you know, most businesses in an office area will have a little kitchen of some sort. It doesn't take a lot. It's not a lot of money, but it really starts to promote that local buy-in, your staff feeling better because they're eating really great local food.
It's a multiplier, right? It's a lower carbon purchase. You're also putting money back into the local community. You're promoting. You're hopefully sharing, talking about that. There's a ripple effect associated to that as well. So, yeah, I think that's a big part of what we're trying to do is unearth those opportunities and show people that they can spend better. And here are some ways that they could do that.
So one of the criticisms that people often say is, oh, carbon counting, you know, switching the lights off, like, what difference is that really going to make, right? and that's often what people say, oh, switch the lights off, turn the heating down. Are we really, is that, what kind of contribution is that? And have you seen significant contributions? Especially for a small, medium business.
Yeah.
We can talk individuals in a tech, but I'm really keen to know about that part.
And we have this conversation all the time, of course, you know, in this large emitters and large business and governments and potentially not taking action. My viewpoint is it's all hands on deck.
And right.
Everyone must do everything within their power to reduce their emissions, be it a business owner, be it an individual, someone part of a community, a household. Every little thing we do is lessening the impact for future generations and for the environment. So every little thing makes a difference.
Yeah.
Again, I think people in small business do want to lessen their impact.
Mm.
They don't have the ability or the access to such tools to help them and guide them in a credible and easy fashion.
Mm.
And I think people and business owners personally feel better for doing this.
Mm.
You know, you talk about making a shift in diet. These things, again, have multiple benefits. You know, there's health, there's the animal welfare angle, you know, buying local, putting money into the local community. And I think people want to be on these journeys. And it's just, it's very tricky. It's misleading and hard and seen as expensive as well. It's another thing we want to break down is the money aspect, you know. When you're looking at large items in regards to home insulation, solar panels, EVs, there's a significant amount of bank lending out there available. And there's more and more TV ads and more billboards. And I think we're trying to just streamline that opportunity to those that want it and show them that here is finance and these are the things that you can put that money to do.
Yeah, totally. So 20 years ago, it was hard because a lot of the technology, a lot of the products that were good for the planet were super expensive.
For sure.
But that is just not true anymore. It might take a little bit of effort to find the alternative, but there are so many alternatives out there now. So it's becoming quite a competitive market, which means, of course, that the prices are coming down from what they were. So, for instance, organic food used to be really, like, really expensive. But now there's often not much of a difference between your organic option and your spray or chemical added option. So it's becoming much easier, and it's becoming much easier for businesses to make those choices too. So one of the things, and I'll be interested to know if you've come across this, is people often talk about packaging because packaging and sending product is such a big part of so many businesses. And one of the things that people said, if I change my packaging, does that really make a difference? So again, 20 years ago, it was really hard to find packaging that it was even remotely earth-friendly. It was like plastic or plastic or plastic. And now it's we have these biodegradable options, but you need to be very careful when it says biodegradable, because some require so many conditions that it will never be biodegradable. But there are options that definitely are. So if we just take a little bit of time, a switch can be huge and not actually much more expensive to the end goal. And then as you said before, the buy-in with your customer, you know, your personal human effort to be good for the planet is almost always recognized and bounds by your customers. Is that the experience that you've found with the organizations you've worked with?
Yeah, it is. I think in regards to a small business looking for ways, if they are, you know, doing a lot of packaging and there are so many solutions out there. And I think making that shift and, again, promoting that and taking your customers on that journey does and will see an uptick in customer base. We've run small trials throughout the years. One that sticks out, there was a bar in Wellington, Rogan Vagabond, shout out to them. They went living wage. And so we wanted to promote that this is now a bar that is a living wage, pays them their staff minimum of a living wage, signed up to that. And we promoted that bar was, and we popped up an alert in people's phones at about 4 p.m. on a Friday in Wellington.
Mm.
And they saw a surge of people coming in there, you know, going for a drink tonight, why not spend with a living wage bar? And so then we talked about that and we sent them in. And this is not, again, in the carbon sense, but this is, you know, there's other values that people, you know.
Looking after,
abide by and want to live their life by. So that's just an example of a company taking on a new value, a new certification and accreditation that was important to them, and then socializing that and benefiting from that. So yes, maybe they need to bump a few people up from their minimum wage to that living wage, but by then, you know, taking on that and socializing it, they got more people in the door.
Yeah.
And then that money was spent with them opposed to other businesses. And then what happens to those other businesses? They either have to do the same thing and call it get better, or they go out of business.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, in the times we're living, that's the best scenario, that we need these businesses who are doing good by people and planet to flourish and to be seen and to have increased custom. So I think that is what we're trying to achieve at scale, you know, promoting good business, supporting businesses who want to be better and driving customers to those businesses.
So that's so if we full circle round to the carbon count, the carbon count is actually the tangible measure, but underpinning that is a real human value connect.
That's right. I think coming back to the start of the Kogo journey, you know, conscious consumers, it's about aligning your values with your spend. And, of course, we've gone down a path of carbon for many, many reasons. Very, very important. We talk about regulation, commercial opportunity, decarbonisation, numbers that are needed. So for many reasons, and, you know, looking at banks, getting into banks right now, it needs to be driven by carbon through regulation, commercial opportunities. But now we're having conversations with our bank partners about, well, we're enriching your transactional data with carbon. We can enrich it with percentage of living wage businesses.
Yeah, right.
B Corps, Indigenous-owned businesses, women-led businesses.
Yeah.
All these other things that your customers would want to see.
Yeah.
And so this is where we foresee the future, is that you would be able to log into your banking app and you would be able to say, these are the things I care about.
Mm.
And these are the businesses that you're currently spending with, made available to you.
Yeah.
And then you'd be, again, ethical nudge to those businesses that are aligned to your values that you're not currently spending with.
And you, I guess the key thing, because I meet a lot of people working very hard to try and buy well, but you then are doing some of the heavy lifting by saying, these are not greenwashing.
We're certifying the certifiers.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. So we're doing that work for them. It is very confusing. I'm not an expert on organic, but there is too many organic certifications in this country. It is very, very confusing.
Yeah.
So what we're trying to do is break down that, certify all of those that are legitimate and credible, and provide them with such as a Kogo verification that, yes, we've done the heavy lifting. This business has organic produce, for example.
Yeah.
And looking at things such as Living Wage Aotearoa, which has a, you know, unfortunately not a large following. you know, if you are out there listening, look at Living Wage and moving your staff onto that at a minimum. But yes, that's it. I mean, very credibly going through the process of finding the businesses that are doing good and translating that to the individual.
Yeah, so it's a big shout out to those businesses who really want to look after their people and their planet, right? And that's, I meet a lot of people who are wonderful humans who are running a business or in a business and who want to do something, just not always sure where to start. So this is a really great, tangible, accessible way to do that and to get a step on the journey. But I want to tackle large business with you, Josh, because back to the introduction, you know, people do say, look, we are not the big carbon consumers. The big carbon consumers are these big businesses. They're making a lot of money. They're very extractive in their business model. They're certainly not anywhere close to being regenerative. And they're not really doing a lot right now. So what difference does, you know, humble old me on the ground do? What would you be your response to that?
Yeah, again, I think it's tough when you see these large polluters, governments or business around the world, either not taking action or trying to greenwash or not moving fast enough in general. I think every little thing does matter, and I think that's it. It's just transparently doing what you can and taking your customers on that journey or taking your friends and family on that journey with you. I think there's something to be said about, you know, making these small incremental changes in your own life. And there is a ripple effect to that. You know, we're all voters. We all have KiwiSaver or investment funds. Where you put that money, who you vote for, the conversations you have with people, these things all matter. And I think it's that collective action that we're trying to encourage. You know, you look at all the small businesses in Aotearoa, individually, small footprints, but they add up. And I think it's that collective action that is really important. In our tools, we show how many people have committed to this action and what's that total collective emissions reduction.
Yeah.
So moving from X to Y, I've reduced 50 kgs. Maybe I'm not feeling like that's denting the global crisis we face. But collectively, there's a million kgs associated to that climate action that X many people have taken that on as well. And the same in business sense as well.
And we are all the customers. So a large business needs customers.
That's right.
If the customers aren't buying, the large business doesn't work, right?
That's right.
So ultimately the power is with who is buying. And so as an individual, we are hugely empowered because we can say, I'm not buying from that company. I am not getting that service from that company because they have made no proper moves.
That's right. I think, we talk about, voting for the future, voting with your wallet. Every spend, every shift is a vote for the future that you want. And I think that's very important. The power of the consumer, obviously, very, very strong in this regard. So it is, again, it's unearthing those businesses that are doing good, making them available, showing people the alternatives, and trying to shift the spend to those businesses.
Yeah, and maybe, moving our brain from cheapest, discounted. I know it's a tough time, but for most people now in the world, when it comes to prices of things, but I think that's where there's an opportunity now to really, because the price of what is often very low quality, very extractive products is now becoming quite comparable to those that have high quality and local. So we're getting a real opportunity now to be very discerning on what we're buying and not just looking for the cheapest by 5 cents, but maybe spending 5 cents more or 5p more or 5 krona more, whatever country you're in, and actually going, I'm going to consciously choose the thing that's good for my planet because it's going to be good for me and my kids, if I have any, or my friends' kids or whatever. So that shift, every new day offers an opportunity for people to make that shift.
And I think, price parity is very important, of course. There are things you can do to lower your emissions that don't have a financial attachment. Repairing clothes, growing your own vegetables, if you have the ability to do these things. And I think that's the other point of this is that, we are trying to encourage those that have the ability to reduce their emissions. So those that have the money and the affluent and the demographic of people who are, have a higher salary, are wealthier, they have a higher footprint. And it's, again, it's trying to encourage everyone to do their bit And if you can lessen the impact for future generations by, you know, shifting, you know, that's the empowerment we're trying to create here, getting people and small businesses to make these decisions for others. So it's the altruistic piece that I think really needs. We've talked a few times about, you know, this cognitive shift, this sort of global unawakening. It needs to happen. It's a big part of it, for sure. You need to start doing these things. And then you look at, you know, working for charity, donations, look at how are you spending the hours that you have on this planet, in a work environment or at home. You know, what are you doing? What's your contribution to life?
Because that's the bit that often people don't talk about. Like, this is often quite serious and dry, and excuse the pun with your name. but often it is looked like, you know, this is hard, this is challenging, but actually that is not the experience that I have had with people who have undergone the journey. In fact, almost the complete opposite, that it can be fun. It's like a new community that you join because you start meeting people who are doing similar things. And it's totally focused around your well-being. You feel good. You're making good decisions as a human. You know, it doesn't have to be really dull and challenging.
Of course. Look, my personal journey in sustainability, I've been eating plant-based for a number of years now. Love the journey, you know. I was not a healthy eater. my family and previous flatmates can attest to that. And so I've been on this journey. As soon as I said I was going to do it, my partner said, if you're going to do it, I'll do it. You know, almost like, you can't do this. and so we've been on that journey together, and it's just unlocked so many vegetables and so many different recipes. And I've just enjoyed the cooking journey. All of these different recipes, make an amazing pulled jackfruit taco. You know, convince people that it's pulled pork, and you can have fun with it. And obviously, veganism, vegans, you know, for a number of reasons, they have a bad rep. But I think, you know, it's because they need to create that ripple effect. They need to have that conversation. It's a big part about it, is having those awkward conversations. But they can be lighthearted. Same thing as cyclists. Avid cyclist myself, and I've been on that journey. And getting bikes and fixing them up and looking at electric and, you know, becoming part of that, you know, that cult, that community. Again, it can be lighthearted and fun, and it's a good journey to be a part of. And as you say, there's health benefits, there's financial benefits, there's all these other things, social. I think we can have these lighthearted conversations, but the important thing is to be having them.
Yeah. So that's a wonderful segue into my next question for you. So, what are the most impactful actions we can take to reduce our carbon? You've been, you know, on this for quite a long time, so you would have seen some. It's always relevant to the individual circumstances, but overall, what are the significant things that you've seen that shift our behaviour and be really influential in terms of us as consumers on this planet?
Yeah, I mean, you called out the big four in the introduction: energy, transport, travel, diet. That's a significant four that makes up a household footprint. Then there's all the consumerism, the things that you buy. So I suppose some examples. I mean, energy. We're pretty lucky in Aotearoa. We have a very high electricity of renewable energy. So that's pretty good. But again, you can look at small things, LED light bulbs, for example. Very simple way to look into that. Transport, we've talked about biking, already public transport. If you have the ability, if you have the funding, if you live in an environment where you can get an electric vehicle, obviously that's highly encouraged. Dip your toe in the water with a hybrid. You know, there's a lot of funding out there. travel.
Or just stopping.
Just stop.
Just like stopping and not going out in your car every day, right? like buying a car is a big consumer item.
Of course, of course.
Reducing it massively would be.
I mean, that's the first part of reduce, reuse, recycle, isn't it? It's refuse. And that's the first thing. Just refuse it at the start. But of course, you know, there's a lot of people that, you know, need to be doing many things for many reasons. We're not going to move away from, you know, clothing, heating, feeding our families, are we? You know, it's about these things are always going to be there. It's about using that money in the best way possible or that you can. Travel, again, yes, flying is a big one. Can you have more staycations? Can you do some more exciting things with the family that are local? And if you do go overseas, you know, what are you going to do in regards to reducing that? You know, are you going to join a local, you know, tree planting or vegetable or, you know, just being aware of those things as well and not just sort of, putting your head in the sand. People still need to fly. We have, global families and there are funerals and weddings and large family occasions people need to go to. Mm. I've spoken to a lady recently. She's in Aotearoa, New Zealand, and her grandkids, now young grandkids, are over in the UK. And you've been in probably a similar situation. Very, very hard for a lot of people. So,
especially this far down under.
That's right, very far. So what are some of the things we can do to lessen that impact as well? And diet, we've talked about a few times. You know, again, that starts with having that conversation in your family and starting to buy better and to buy lower emitting. Even just swapping out beef for chicken is a big one. Beef is a huge emissions profile, so trying to change that. And then I think non-direct footprint actions, your investment, the work that you do. And then shifting this behaviour, it starts with small goals and goal setting and micro things and, you know, starting that journey and taking on a task. You know, there's so many challenges out there, like you've got your stair climb challenge. Maybe there's a you know, only purchase a certain number of items a year or buy secondhand for a month or, you know, repair, get into sewing, go to the local knitting and make a beanie, make some socks.
I've got a close friend of mine in the UK, and shout out to me if you're in the UK and London, because she has a knitting club in a pub and they just knitted a whole bunch of climate data. They've got like knitting. I'll have to share this with you.
Please.
Caroline, if you're out there, you need to send me the photograph and I'll share it with this podcast. But knitting the data, so you've got these wonderful knitted pieces. And it's fun and it's in the pub and it's a community and it's great, but it's also consciously, you know, doing something that's helpful, you know. It's a win-win-win-win.
Yeah, I love it. And that's what we're looking for, those win-win-wins for sure. They're out there. There are enough solutions to meet this crisis. Mm. There are enough businesses doing good things. There's enough individuals that want to spend better and reduce their emissions. And it's about connecting, making all those businesses and finance and solutions and people come together because it's available. It's the ability of connecting it and doing it in a credible way as fast as we can.
Yeah, totally. And I really hear you when you say everybody, you know, it's about everyone contributing. Because sometimes when people are talking about carbon, it's almost like it's a choice. And it's like, no, we're way past that now. It's not like, if we do this amount, we should be okay. It's like, no, everyone in the whole planet needs to like contribute right now. It's not there's no blaming that's going to help this. Because we just got to start with us, and if we work for an organization, we own a company or whatever, then that's our sphere of influence can grow and grow. So totally starts with you as a great human doing something.
Yeah, that's right.
Josh, it's been such a pleasure having you in the room today. And it's lovely to have watched the Kogo journey over all these years as well, to see those shifts and see how the technology has changed over time and how that can be totally helpful to to us as humans being able to see and be reflective of what our impact is. And so I wish you the best with going forward. For people listening in, we will share the links on terranova.foundation. And also, just to mention at this point, we also have EcoFit, which is about to launch, which is a community that supports people taking action. So you can join that and find out some of the actions that we've talked a little bit about today, how you can do that more, and you can share what you've found really effective. So again, on terranova.foundation, there are links to all of these things. And big thank you to you today, Josh, for being in the studio with us talking everything carbon.
Thanks so much, Rose. Thanks for having me on. I think to last word to everyone out there, just again, start that journey, have those conversations. They're tough conversations, but we need everyone, all hands on deck. We have tools with 20 banks around the world, so no matter where you are around the world, look into your bank. If they don't have a tool, email them, ask them why not. And the same for small businesses. We're rolling out tools for large accounting firms and banks as well. So I think that's it. Start that measurement, start that reduction journey, and I suppose be resilient as well. It's tough for those who are out there fighting at the moment. Keep fighting the good fight, and let's all be the change we want to see in the world and be on the right side of history.
That's amazing. Thank you, Josh.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Terra Nova Earth Talks. For more information on the content and links from this podcast, go to the Terra Nova website. That's terranova.foundation. To listen to other interviews in this series, go to the Plains FM website. That's plainsfm.org.nz. Search for Terra Nova Earth Talks. Also on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Bye for now.